Rav Shlomo's amazing journey. He called us the Holy Hippolach. Rav Shlomo's term of endearment, his affectionate nickname for those of us living in the House of Love and Prayer in San Francisco in 1968, spiritual seekers, new to Yiddishkeit, and ardently devoted to him. We were such loyal Hasidim of Rav Shlomo that wherever he went in California, we would follow. So when he called us one day from New York and told us that he'd be doing a Shabbaton at Rikend in a Reformed temple in Los Angeles, we did what we always did, got ourselves ready to drive down the coast and meet Shlomo at the LA airport. Although just being with Shlomo always proved an adventure, we could never have envisioned exactly what lay in store for us that particular Shabbos. Two of us had little hippie cars, a tiny VW bug and something similar, into which we packed ourselves. Pregnant mothers, babies, strollers, guitars, drums, tambourines, and headed down the coast. Late Friday afternoon, we met him on that time at the airport and tried valiantly to rush him into the car, but with Shlomo, wasn't such a simple thing. First, he busied himself with greeting just about everybody in the airport. Then he started making phone calls to people all over the world. We were very anxious about getting to the temple before sunset and kept on frantically tapping our wristwatches while he spoke animatedly on the phone. Just one more call, he kept on pleading, as we looked with growing consternation at the airport clock. Finally, we managed to hustle him into the VW bug and get him onto the freeway. Collectively, we heaved a huge sigh of relief. We were making excellent time, and our nervousness about getting to the temple before Shabbos had just about dissipated when traffic came to a complete halt. A truck had overturned, spilling a thick white powder on the freeway, and the police had blocked off the entire area. We looked at each other in panic as the sun began to sink lower and lower in the sky. What are we going to do next? Finally, Shlomo announced, "Chevra, I'm so sorry, but it's almost Shabbos. We're going to have to get out of the car and walk the rest of the way." We pulled over to the side of the road, emptied our pockets, put on several layers of clothing, locked the cars, did something clever about the keys, and started walking. We didn't know where we were, how to get to the temple, or how long a walk we were in for. But we did have faith, both in God and in Shlomo, so we figured everything would turn out okay. For several minutes, we walked along the highway until we came to an exit sign that read, Sepulveda Boulevard. Somebody in the group excitedly shouted out the name that sounded familiar. He was quite certain that the temple was located on this avenue. So with a cheer, we exited. See, we told each other happily, wasn't so bad after all. Only about 15 minutes of walking and we're almost there. Our optimism turned out to be very short-lived. We soon discovered that our excitement had been premature, to say the least. We had been walking inbound upon the boulevard for almost an hour. The temple was nowhere in sight, and the few passerbyers we encountered could offer us no assistance. We were not dispirited, however. Even as we walked, Shlomo was lightheartedly doing Shabbos with us, telling us Hasidic stories, teaching Torah, singing Zmiros. We were still walking when a car pulled up alongside our little group, and the female driver started gesticulating wildly. The woman inside turned out to be the secretary from the Reformed Temple, who was sent by the frantic congregation to search for us. She started yelling, "Shlomo, we've been worried sick. Everyone's waiting for you. Come on, get into my car." Shlomo replied softly, "Darling, I appreciate your offer so much, but I'm so sorry. As bad as it is, I can't get into the car with you. I have to walk." But Shlomo, the secretary, protested, "It's 27 miles to the temple." Our hearts sank. The pregnant women and mothers with babies were struggling. There were those among us who had never kept Shabbos before, and truthfully, we wouldn't have minded if Shlomo had managed to find a heter that would get us off the streets and into the car. But Shlomo was strictly halachic, and nothing was more sacred to him than Shabbos. So our hopes were dashed when we heard him say to the secretary instead, "Darling, please do me the greatest favor in the world. Please tell the members of your congregation that humble me and the Holy Hippolach have to walk to the temple. And we're walking as fast as we can. Please don't lose heart. Maybe if they feel up to it, everyone can stay and do something and wait until we get there." So we continued walking, Shlomo calmly and cheerfully doing Shabbos with us, still telling Hasidic stories, still teaching Torah, still singing songs. We tried to concentrate and ignore the cold night air, the ominously overhung cloudy sky, the wailing babies, our hunger and thirst. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and we seemed to have made little headway. Every once in a while, the temple sends another car to check on our progress and see how we're doing. At about midnight, our fears that the weather were confirmed when the skies opened. No mere drizzle or mild rainfall, mind you, but a downpour, a torrential storm. And there we were, caught right in the thick of it, defenseless and soaked to the bone. We groaned, but from Shlomo we never heard one word of complaint, not a single sigh. Chevra, have I ever told you the story of Yosel the miser? He turned to us, his face shining, thoroughly unperturbed. At about 1:30 in the morning, the rain was still coming down hard, when another car pulled up alongside us, one that we hadn't seen before. To our surprise, the man inside turned out to be a famous LA personality, the talk show host, the Night Owl, from a local radio station, who had somehow heard about our Shabbos walk. He was so intrigued that he had jumped into his car and driven to Sepulveda Boulevard to see for himself. "Hey, what are you doing?" he shouted at Shlomo in a not unfriendly manner as he rolled down his car and drove alongside us. "Why are you walking in this downpour? Why can't you drive? How long have you been walking? What's this all about?" Shlomo began to patiently and eloquently explain about the beauty and sanctity of Shabbos and how he couldn't violate it. The talk show host, impressed, perhaps moved by Shlomo's explanation, asked Shlomo many questions, engaged in animated dialogue with him for several minutes, and left. We had no idea that all this time, a tape recorder had been hidden and secretly running in his lap. At about 2 in the morning, when Sepulveda Boulevard is usually quite deserted, and we ourselves had not encountered any traffic for some time, we suddenly saw three cars trailing us. They pulled up alongside us, and the people inside excitedly asked Shlomo, "Are you Rabbi Karlbach?" "Yes, darling," Shlomo replied without missing a beat. "And who are you?" These people had been listening to the Night Owl, who after his encounter with Shlomo returned to the station and broadcast the entire discussion. He had been so overwhelmed by Shlomo's spiritually uplifting words that he decided to air his entire soliloquy on Shabbos. The people in the cars told us that they too had been equally moved by Shlomo's talk. In fact, their imagination had been so captured by the Night Owl's dramatic description of Mesiras Nefesh that they had come to join us as a gesture of brotherhood. We were touched by their action, particularly since it was still raining very heavily and the boulevard had been virtually transformed into a surging river. We thanked our new friends for their display of fellowship, but urged them to return home where they would be safe and dry. They refused. Undaunted by the rushing waters now swelling Sepulveda Boulevard, insisted on accompanying us the rest of the way, and they were not alone. One by one, the cars began to pull up as we watched in wonder. People had been listening to the Night Owl's broadcast, alternately intrigued, inspired, and charmed by the story of our Shabbos march, trailed us down to Sepulveda Boulevard with their cars, then parked them and joined our ranks. First there were a dozen, then two dozen, then three. Soon there were more than 200 people walking with us in this veritable parade for Shabbos. We didn't know who was Jewish and who wasn't, but did it matter? A strong sense of unity and harmony surges powerfully throughout our ranks that night as the water swirling around us. We clasped hands with our brothers who had come with such love to escort us safely to the temple, hugged them close, and wished them a joyous good Shabbos. And all this time, as we were wading through the flooded boulevard, Shlomo continued serenely to tell stories, teach Torah, sing songs, and everyone was singing with him. The energy was high, the spirit great, and we're all feeling happy. Finally, at 4:30 in the morning, all 200 of us got to the temple, and to our shock and delight, the place was packed. Members of the congregation had been waiting for us all night. They were ready for us when we came in. They had towels, dry clothing, even hot chocolate. At about 5 in the morning, Shlomo started davening Kabbalat Shabbat, and despite everything we had endured, conducted a full davening. Told more stories, taught more Torah. We eventually got the Kiddush at 8 o'clock. At about 8:30 Saturday morning, we finally sat down to our Friday night meal. For as long as I live, I'll never forget that Shabbos walk with Shlomo Karlbach. Everyone who did that walk was transformed. We were a bunch of kids who didn't know anything about Shabbos until we took that walk. And this is how he taught us. After witnessing Shlomo Karlbach keeping Shabbos with such passion, devotion, and fervor, how could you not keep Shabbos after that? Anita Halberstam's holy brother. Just a short postscript. A few years back, I was a madrich on an NCSY program. It was the last Shabbaton for a month in Israel. And we were staying in a hotel that was about an hour and a half walk in Beit Vagan from the Kotel. And there was a debate Some of the Madrichim said, let's just sleep and daven by let's just daven by Bayit Began, so the guys won't have to walk so far. But others, myself included, remember this story and remember the journey. And this is our last Shabbat in Jerusalem before they went back for a very, very, very long time. And we pushed hard to walk to the Kotel. And in the end, we did walk. We walked there, we walked back. And it was an unforgettable experience. The energy was so high. Because when you're walking to a holy thing, holy things happen. Be blessed. Amazing day.